What's the old man have so much to do with him for? Striking up a swap, or a bargain, I suppose. Bargain? About what? Why, do you see, the old man is hard-bent after that white whale, and the devil there is trying to come round him and get him to swap away his silver watch or his soul or something of that sort, and then he'll surrender Moby Dick. Pooh! Stop your skylarking. How can Fadala do that? I don't know, Flask. But the devil is a curious chap, and a wicked one, I tell ya. Why, they say as how he went a-sauntering into the old flagship once, switching his tail about devilish easy and gentlemanlike, and inquiring if the old governor was at home. Well, he was at home, and asked the devil what he wanted. The devil, switching his hoofs up, and says, "I want John." "What for?" says the old governor. "What business is that of yours?" says the devil, getting mad. "I want to use him." "Take him," says the governor. "And by the Lord Flask, if the devil didn't give John the Asiatic cholera before he got through with him, I'll eat this whale in one mouthful. But look sharp, ain't you already there? Well then, pull ahead and let's get the whale alongside." "I think I remember some such story as you were telling," said Flask, when at last the two boats were slowly advancing with their burden towards the ship. "But I can't remember where." "Three Spaniards? Adventures of those three bloody-minded soldados? Did you read it there, Flask? I guess you did."
"No, never saw such a book. Heard of it, though.
But now tell me, Stubb, do you suppose that that devil you were speaking of just now was the same you say is now on board the Pequod? Am I the same man that helped kill this whale? Doesn't the devil live forever? Whoever heard that the devil was dead? Did you ever see any parson wearing mourning for the devil? And if the devil has a latchkey to get into the Admiral's cabin, don't you suppose he can crawl into a porthole? Tell me that, Mr. Flask."
"How old do you suppose Fadala is, Stubb?"
"Do you see that mainmast there?" pointing to the ship. "Well, that's the figure one. Now take all the hoops in the Pequod's hold and string 'em along in a row with that mast for aughts, do you see? Well, that wouldn't begin to be Fadala's age. Nor all the coopers in creation couldn't show hoops enough to make aughts enough. But see here, Stubb, I thought you a little boasted just now that you meant to give Fadala a sea toss if you got a good chance. Now, if he's so old as all those hoops of yours come to, and if he is going to live forever, what good will it do to pitch him overboard? Tell me that."
"Give him a good ducking, anyhow."
"But he'd crawl back."
"Duck him again, and keep ducking him."
"Suppose he should take it into his head to duck you, though?"
"Yes, and drown you. What then?"
"I should like to see him try it. I'd give him such a pair of black eyes that he wouldn't dare to show his face in the Admiral's cabin again for a long while, let alone down in the orlop there where he lives and hereabouts on the upper decks where he sneaks so much. Damn the devil, Flask. Do you suppose I'm afraid of the devil?" "Who's afraid of him? Except the old governor, who daren't catch him and put him in double darbies, as he deserves, but lets him go about kidnapping people. Aye, and signed a bond with him that all the people the devil kidnapped, he'd roast for him. There's a governor."
"Do you suppose Fadala wants to kidnap Captain Ahab?"
"Do I suppose it? You'll know it before long, Flask. But I'm going now to keep a sharp lookout on him. And if I see anything very suspicious going on, I'll just take him by the nape of his neck and say, 'Look here, Beelzebub, you don't do it.' And if he makes any fuss, by the Lord, I'll make a grab into his pocket for his tail, take it to the capstan and give him such a wrenching and heaving that his tail will come short off at the stump. Do you see? And then I rather guess when he finds himself docked in that queer fashion, he'll sneak off without the poor satisfaction of feeling his tail between his legs."
"And what will you do with the tail, Stubb?"
"Do with it? Sell it for an ox whip when we get home. What else?"
"Now, do you mean what you say? And have you been saying all along, Stubb?
Mean or not mean, here we are at the ship."
The boats were here hailed to tow the whale on the larboard side, where fluke chains and other necessaries were already prepared for securing him.
"Didn't I tell you so?" said Flask. "Yes, you'll soon see this right whale's head hoisted up opposite that Parmacetti's."
In good time, Flask's saying proved true. As before, the Pequod steeply leaned over towards the sperm whale's head. Now, by the counterpoise of both heads, she regained her even keel, though sorely strained, you may well believe. So, when on one side you hoist in Locke's head, you go over that way, But now, on the other side, hoist in Kant's, and you come back again, but in very poor plight. Thus some minds forever keep trimming boat. O ye foolish, throw all these thunderheads overboard, and then you will float light and right. In disposing of the body of a right whale when brought alongside the ship, the same preliminary proceedings commonly take place as in the case of a sperm whale. Only in the latter instance the head is cut off whole, but in the former the lips and tongue are separately removed and hoisted on deck, with all the well-known black bone attached to what is called the crown piece. But nothing like this in the present case had been done. The carcasses of both whales had dropped astern, and the head-laden ship not a little resembled a mule carrying a pair of overburdening panniers. Meantime, Fadala was calmly eyeing the right whale's head, and ever and anon glancing from the deep wrinkles there to the lines in his own hand. And Ahab chanced to stand that the Parsee occupied his shadow, while if the Parsee's shadow was there at all, it seemed only to blend with and lengthen Ahab's. As the crew toiled on, Laplandish speculations were bandied among them concerning all these passing things.